The Ear, Evangelical and Reformed, Christian Podcast. Welcome to The Ear, the Evangelical and Reformed, a Christian podcast that urges you to think deeper and draws you closer to God through faith. Through powerful sermons, teaching segments, and discussions, The Ear hopes to give you a different perspective on secular topics from a Christian worldview. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Please welcome your host, Brandon Queen.
We are created to be free. We're not designed to be in bondage and in servitude to these major lenders and creditors.
Is having credit and loans a good thing or a bad thing? Is credit needed in today's daily operations? How can one be credit card or loan free? What should I do if I need a loan to pay my bills? What does the Bible say about credit and loans? If we need to obtain a loan, what are ways that we can be financially responsible and frugal with that loan?
We move at the speed of cash, and I highly suggest everyone starts doing that. Only move at the pace that your income can allow you to move at.
We as Christians are taught to be frugal with our resources and to live within our means. Sometimes life does get in the way, and we do not have that emergency fund for rainy days. We then seek a loan just to get by. We often find ourselves taking out loans more and more, and we never become financially free. We are a bondage to that loan. We hope that we can give you biblical knowledge and financial tips to assist you in maintaining a frugal budget for you and your family, and a budget that glorifies God. Stay tuned for this episode. Welcome back, Brennan, to another episode of The Ear. And today, our topic is probably your favorite. I'm joking. It's probably not your favorite. But the title of this episode is How to Be Credit and Loan Responsible. And this came about thinking of those people who have no other way. Now, they take out a loan and they are responsible with the loan, or they have a credit card and they are responsible with the credit card, and they're using it for what they have intentions on using it for, and they're not getting extra stuff. So this question came about around those types of people that have the credit cards and have the loans and they are responsible. So how can they be more responsible with the credit cards or with the loans?
Okay. So, you know, well, first of all, thanks for having me back. It's good to be back. The first thing to look at is why in this culture, why do we say that we need credit and why do we buy into it? And almost every single, every single time I ask that question, it's, well, so that I can later buy a house or a car. And so thing number one, people don't know that you can buy a house with you can get a mortgage with a zero credit score. The way to do that is you find a mortgage company who does manual underwriting. So what that means is they look at the details of your life and things like, have you paid your landlord on time? Do you pay your utilities on time? Have you held a job for 2 years? All these types of things. Do you have a decent down payment? You can get a mortgage without a credit score. So either you need to either have a zero credit score or a good credit score to get a mortgage, but you can do it without a credit score. Now, like I said last episode, I'm a huge fan of the 100% down plan when it comes to getting a house. So realistically, when you look at the numbers and when you look at how focused and intentional you can be, you can save up enough cash to get yourself a starter home within at least, you know, let's say 5 to 10 years from where you're currently at. And I know that sounds crazy to a lot of people, but I promise you, in almost every case that I look at, when we sit down and we look over your numbers and we figure out how much of a difference you can make between income and expenses, that can be done. If you follow these steps the way we teach them, that can be done. So back to the question, why do we think that we need to borrow and build our credit and all these types of things? it's a cyclical event that only benefits the lenders. It's, we need to build our credit score so that we can get stuff. And then you ask, why? Well, so that we can keep building our credit score. Why? So that we can keep getting stuff. Why? So that we can keep building our credit score. So you just keep going in this broken cycle that's getting you nowhere really fast.
Right? Absolutely.
You're running around and you're doing a bunch of things. You've got a bunch of payments and you've got a bunch of stuff, but you're not getting anywhere. There's no correlation between the amount of wealth that someone has and their credit score. You could have an 800 credit score and have $0 to your name and literally own nothing. And if any kind of crisis comes up in your life, you have an enormous amount of risk on your shoulders that, let's say you lose your job. Well, now you're missing payments on cars and houses and student loans and all these types of things. You're getting sued. You're getting foreclosed. You're getting repossessed. You name it. A world of chaos is happening because of the disaster that you've put yourself into by borrowing and getting things with money that you don't have. Okay. So if you've already done it, that's what we really need to look at. How do we manage it responsibly? And then how do we get out of it so that we don't have to go back to this broken system, right? Because like we said last episode, we are created to be free. We're not designed to be in bondage and in servitude to these major lenders and creditors, right? So the way that we manage this responsibly is, number one, this is something that I tell everyone that I work with to do immediately. Go home, take your credit cards out, and cut them in half. There's a lot of studies that show us when we spend money with plastic, especially credit as opposed to debit, but even with debit, when we spend money on plastic, when we use plastic for a purchase, we spend 12% to 20% more just on day-to-day life because we're using plastic as opposed to cash. When we use cash, there's a lot more happening in our brain that causes us to spend less. We have an interaction with the person on the other side of the register. We give them some money, they give us our stuff, and then they may give us some money back, they may not. When you use plastic, the person at the register scans your stuff, you swipe your plastic, you put it back in your wallet or your purse, and you take your stuff. There's no mental connection that I just spent X amount of money. And so because of that, we spend that much more on purchases. Okay. McDonald's is one of the first ones who figured this out and switched over to taking plastic payments because they figured out that people using credit or debit cards spent like 47% more on their purchases than people using cash. It's so much easier to just impulse and buy more than what you need, kind of like what we were saying in the last episode, living above our means. It's so much easier to do when you're borrowing and you're only thinking of payments. My payment is this much. My payment is that much. Instead of thinking about how much money do I actually have and what can I actually get? So that's how you're going to be responsible with this whole animal once you've looked it in the face. We cannot continue in this cycle of thinking that borrowing is the only way to get stuff. I said it last episode, we move at the speed of cash, and I highly suggest everyone starts doing that. Only move at the pace that your income can allow you to move at. You've got to start practicing delayed gratification and contentment. If you think you need a new vehicle and you go out and sign yourself up to be a slave to Chevy, Dodge, Nissan, whoever it is, I'm promising you, I'm guaranteeing you, and being backed by the scriptures, that you're setting yourself up for a world of disaster.
That's very interesting. Now, I did a study on my own finances a couple years ago, and I used to be a root beer fanatic. Lay's potato chips and root beer. So I thought I was being cheap when I was working at Rouse's Supermarket, which is a local supermarket here in Louisiana, where I'm from. When I worked at Rouse's, I would pull myself a cash allowance and I would, every lunch break, I would buy a bag of Lay's potato chips and a root beer. very unhealthy, one, but also very expensive. If you think about it, now you're probably thinking it costs you $3 every time you go on break, or every day you work and you go on break. Okay, you're right. But that $3 means so much when you're trying to build and pull yourself out of something.
Yeah.
Now, go ahead.
Well, I have a story of the exact same circumstance. So I worked with a guy, and again, this comes down to budgeting every month, you know, getting that plan really solid and seeing where your money's going, because you're exactly right. People, you know, we look at it costs $3, or when we're getting a car, we look at it costs $300 a month. We don't look at the big picture. And so I worked with the gentleman, we went over his budget, and after finishing his budget, we revealed that he was spending $500 a month on snacks at Circle K. And it blew his mind. It blew his mind, because here he is struggling to get along, to make payments, to save money, all this type of stuff. Yet he's thinking, oh, well, you know, this snack at Circle K every day, it's only costing me $3 or whatever, you know, whatever, however much it was costing. And by the end of the month, he's spending $500 on this stuff. And he's looking at himself going, man, what? I was confused, thinking I make decent money, where's all my money going? And then he made a budget and a solid plan, and he realized, oh, that's where all my extra money is going. That has to stop right now if I ever want to change this whole thing.
Yeah, that's crazy how much extra money we spend on unhealthy food.
Oh man.
You know, junk food and stuff like that. Now look, I'm not gonna lie, I still get my Lay's potato chips. I really need to stop because of my blood pressure. Yeah. But I could have been at a better advantage financially because I started working at the age of 15.
Yeah.
So everything I was making at the age of 15 should have been dumped into a savings account.
That's right.
Okay. Now, granted, that was my plan. I was saving half of my income, and I was not making a whole lot, but I was literally saving half of my income. I rode a bike to and from work. When it rained, I had friends that brought me to and from work. And the other half was basically school stuff, what I needed for school. Mm-hmm. I was basically supporting and buying my own stuff for school whenever needed. But, and I don't want to dog my family, but, you know, they are the reason it's happened to me. I also was given the responsibility of buying food in the house whenever we ran out of food. Now, what 15-year-old buys food in the house when the family runs out of food? Okay. And I got stuck with doing that. Yeah. So that half of money I was saving went back into the household, which I wasn't upset about. I just wasn't saving what I thought I was going to save.
Right.
And then when other siblings got jobs in the family, they didn't contribute like I did. I was the only one contributing. And it was like, okay, guys, that's not fair. If we're going to make this work, we all need to pitch in and we all can save. We all can do X, Y, Z, but that never happened. So my financial stability when I started off was horrible. It didn't even meet up to what I was trying to do.
Yeah.
And I have a strong feeling if I would have stayed on that plan of saving, 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 I would be in a better financial situation today.
Absolutely. And two, if you had been consistently and diligently budgeting and paying attention to where the money was going. Because see, we get back into now, let's skip forward to adulthood, right? You're making more money, you've got your credit cards, your debit cards, whatever. Well, now the spending doesn't seem so out of control, but you probably, you know, this is for everyone, whoever's listening, you probably make decent money. You almost certainly make enough money to sustain your lifestyle. And when you have all your credit cards and your debit cards, all the extra money that you should be having is being spent because you're not thinking about the expenses. You're not thinking about how much money you're spending and you're not even seeing it. You have no idea how much money you're spending. And all you can think about is, well, I make decent money. How come I have nothing? When we don't have a solid plan, this is what causes us to feel the need to go and borrow so that we can somehow get ahead and get things. When we have a good plan, we see, oh, I actually don't need the bank's help for a certain purchase. I don't need the bank's help to get a vehicle. And when we're thinking long term, I don't need the bank's help to get a house. I can do that myself, again, if I'm consistent and diligent enough, because, you know, I'll use my personal situation. my wife okay. and I, we make decent money. We don't make a ton of money. We make a little bit above the national average. The national average is like 61,000 this year, or maybe that was last year. Probably a little bit better this year. My wife and I make about 70. Okay. We spend about $3,800 a month. Okay. So let me just get my calculator to make sure I'm right.
That's the nerd in you coming out.
Well, I gotta, you know, I can't just give the number and be way off. Okay. So, about $45,000 a year is what we spend. Okay. Because we stay consistent, because we stay diligent, our goal is to buy our first home with cash before I'm 30 years old. We've got 4 years to go and we're right on track to meet this goal. Making 70,000 and spending 45,000 a year. Now, again, this is, you know, 70,000 is a little bit above the national average. I totally understand that. But we're able to save $25,000 a year to reach our goal. Almost every family can do this. And if you're not making at least the national average, which is 61,000 per household, that's a household of a married couple. If you're not making that much money, you need to figure out how to make that much or more money. Because if you're below average, obviously that's an issue. We go back to what I was talking about in the last episode. We need to get creative, think outside the box, understand our value, and start creating more in the marketplace so that we can provide better for our family and reach the goals that we're trying to reach. But it comes down to changing our behaviors, right? Income is how we build wealth. Income is how we get the things that we need and want, not by borrowing. And if you have these types of numbers, again, we don't make a ton of money. If we were making more like $100,000 or $150,000, our lifestyle would be exactly the same. Our expenses would be the same. So $100,000 minus the $45,000 that we spend per year, well, now we're saving $55,000 a year. So even with what we're doing, $25,000 a year, you can see how, you know, over the course of, what is that, $25,000 a year, $150,000 divided by 25, over the course of 6 years, we can buy ourselves $150,000, like I said, starter home. We're not going to get an amazing, immaculate home, a dream home for our first home, but we're not going to have a mortgage our entire lives. Never will we have a mortgage. And so all of that money that we would be spending on a mortgage, we're going to have our house that is building equity that we have paid for. And all of that money we would be sending to the bank in payments, we're going to continue saving. And we're going to continue saving that $25,000, $30,000 per year. And then once we have more cash, plus the equity of the home that we have bought with cash, now we can sell that home and take the cash with the sale of the home. And now we can upsize in house. And now let's say we get, you know, another $150,000 saved. Now we have a $300,000 house within 20 years by the time we're 40 years old and not a single payment, no mortgage. So, I mean, yeah, this is the type of thing that we need to understand in our country is that we have access to work and to make money, and we are designed to work and to provide and to benefit the body of the Messiah and the marketplace and the people around us. We have that ability. We have that freedom. And like I said, almost every immigrant who comes here completely understands the opportunity that they have, and they maximize it and they capitalize on it. And we all need to do the same thing, but it comes down to understanding your value and then making sure that you are diligent with planning and not spending more money than you make. It's really not that insightful, and it's hard to understand. It works extremely well if you do it.
Awesome. Okay. Now, that was actually great dialogue here. Now we're going to get into the actual question of the episode. So what is the difference between credit and loans? And a lot of people actually misinterpret the difference between the two. Now, obviously, credit is also still a loan, but it has a different aspect.
Yeah, so credit is what people look at to decide whether or not you can take on a payment that you're looking at taking on. So building our credit, what we're doing is building what's called your FICO score. Okay. Your FICO score is determined by the three major credit bureaus, and basically they track your payment history and they determine what your score should be. And then people who are going to give you a loan is someone who, you know, it's money that's being given to you in the form of a material or cash or whatever. So like a vehicle, you are being loaned the vehicle with the expectation that you pay for it as you use it. When we go and get a loan, the person who's giving the loan looks at your credit score. And so even like what I was saying with houses, when you go and get a mortgage, the mortgage lender looks at your FICO score. Okay. And that's why if you have a zero credit score, you have to go to someone who does manual underwriting. It's the way they used to write mortgages, you know, I don't know how long ago, but a long time ago. And the reason they would do it like that is because the credit score either wasn't in existence or wasn't really a form of something that lenders looked at. So they would underwrite your mortgage based on your lifestyle, and that would be the determining factor as to whether or not you could take the loan that you were looking at getting. But now it's strictly based on your FICO score in most cases. And so your credit basically is your FICO score. What is my credit? Oh, it's, you know, what's your credit score? It's 700. All right. Well, can I get this loan that I want to get with my 700 credit score? And then, you know, obviously they'll look at, well, are you currently employed? You know, this and that. But almost 100%, it's based on your credit score.
Interesting. Yeah, it's kind of funny how credit scoring all works. And like I said in the first episode, they need to teach more of this stuff in school, you know, so people can know what they're themselves into.
I made a Facebook post. I'm going to reference it right now because it has to do with credit. So I put this post out there, and I'll just dig it up real quick, so bear with me for a second. I put it out there because no one really knows, that they're just not taught and they don't fully understand how your credit score is even determined and what it means. A lot of us are confused, and we think that your credit score shows how well off you are financially, and it has nothing to do with how well off you are financially. Your credit score has nothing to do with that. So your credit score, let me see, we're almost there. Just a moment. Your credit score is 100% based on your relationship with debt. So I've got a breakdown of percentages. Your FICO score is determined by the types of debt that you have and how long you have them and things like that. So here's the percentages, okay? 35% of your FICO score is determined by your payment history. 30% of it is determined by the amounts that you owe. 10% of your score is determined by new credit. 10% of your score is determined by the types of credit that you use. And then the last 15% is determined by the length of your credit history. So the credit score is 100% based on your relationship with debt. The only way to have a good credit score is by making your payments on time. That's the only way. You borrow money, you borrow things, and you make all your payments on time. When someone tells me they have a good credit score, you want to know my response?
Want to know more? Join us next Friday as he answers the question to those who say they have a high credit score.
Greetings, this is Steve Salyards, the author of The GA Junkie, and here are some Presbyterian history notes for the week of November 17th. Sunday, November 17th. In 1840, the Association of Non-Subscribing Presbyterians in Ireland petitioned to have their two theology professors added to the theology faculty of the Royal Belfast Institute. The Institute quickly approved the request, and later in the month, six of the other faculty members resigned in protest. Monday, November 18th. On this day in 1823, Huron Presbytery was organized at Brownhelm, Ohio, with five ministers, of which three were present. The presbytery was formed at the request of the Presbytery of Portage to the Synod of Pittsburgh, and the synod agreed and divided off that portion from Portage. Tuesday, November 19th. This is the birthday of William Billy Sunday in 1862. He was a pro baseball player in Chicago, Pittsburgh, and Philadelphia. He turned to religion and became the preeminent revival preacher of his time. He began as an assistant to Presbyterian revival preacher J. Wilbur Chapman and was ordained by Chicago Presbytery in 1903. He was influential in his support for Prohibition and the 18th Amendment. Wednesday, November 20th. In 1541, the General Council of Geneva adopted John Calvin's ecclesiastical ordinances after nearly 2 months of debate and editing. It had previously been approved by the lesser councils of the city, and this made the document setting out Calvin's form of church government official. Thursday, November 21st. On this day in 1638, the Church of Scotland Glasgow Assembly convened following the rejection of the King's mandated liturgy and the signing of the National Covenant earlier in the year. Alexander Henderson was unanimously chosen as moderator, and when the assembly moved to remove the bishops, the king's commissioner declared the assembly dissolved. The assembly continued anyways, declaring that the king had no authority in ecclesiastical work and on their right to meet. This was the first assembly since 1615, and the first of three where Henderson would be chosen as moderator. Friday, November 22nd. This is the 170th anniversary of the chartering of Austin College in 1849. It was chartered by the state to Brazos Presbytery of the old school PCUSA. The college had been organized on June 21st of 1849. It remains affiliated with the PCUSA today and is the oldest institution of higher education in Texas, still operating under its original charter and name. Saturday, November 23rd. Let's jump 200 years earlier to 1649. On this day, the Commission of Assembly of the Church of Scotland approved the text and ordered the printing of what would be known as the Scottish Psalter of 1650. The book derived from a psalter approved by the Westminster Assembly 6 years earlier, but the General Assembly had some concerns, and over 2.5 years it had been heavily revised for the Church of Scotland to improve the texts and make them more singable. On this day, the commission also set the date of May 1st, 1650, as the date for introduction in the churches. This psalter is still in print and still in widespread use in some Presbyterian branches. Thanks for joining me here on the EAR podcast, and I look forward to joining you again next week.
You have reached the end of yet another episode from The Ear. We hope that God's word remains on the ears of the listeners. We pray that this podcast would urge you to go forth and spread His good news to the world. Thank you for tuning in. Please don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. See you at the next episode. God bless you, and may His glory shine upon you.